We are talking about you're worth it. You are worth it. And I thought I would be ending it last week because I talked about you're worth it to receive health and vitality. And everybody got an orange and a bottle of water.
Amen.
That was a nice orange.
Just, yeah, those are awesome. Our family's favorite. They're called Sky Valley oranges. I believe they come from California. I know I'm a Floridian. Normally I like Florida oranges, but, you know, those were really good. So praise God. Let's go to 3 John 2, our key verse, because understanding how much God values your worth helps us and gets us in position to actually receive all that he has for us. And notice what it says there. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So we've been establishing the fact the last couple of weeks that God wants your prosperity to be in soul and in body. And actually, if you notice what it says here, it says that you prosper. In other words, you have all things that you need. That's also speaking of financial wholeness too. And when we're coming and approaching this idea of worth, we started this series out talking about that it is the purchaser that determines the value of an object. Jesus purchased us. We, according to Ephesians, are purchased possessions. We belong to him. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we were bought with a price. And that price we're going to read about right now in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to go there. We're going to lay a little groundwork on receiving healing and why you are worth it to receive physical healing in your body. If you're struggling at home, or if you have been struggling in your body, I want to encourage you just to go ahead and look at these scriptures this morning and look at them with us together, because I believe they're going to bring great encouragement to you. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed."
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. This scripture in Isaiah 53 is 400 years before Jesus actually walked on the scene. 400 years. God is announcing that there is healing 400 years before Jesus even walked on the planet. I want you to know that God values physical healing as much as he values spiritual healing, as much as he values your whole being whole, being not broken. In fact, we know that the word peace in the Hebrew mindset is nothing broken, nothing missing. That's talking about the whole person. Last week I talked to you that going to Oral Roberts University, they talked about educating the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. And they would often reverse that, and because most people say body first, soul, and then spirit. Spirit always gets the leftovers. And so oftentimes what they would do is they say, no, we're educating the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. Because it's important that we see ourselves as valuable in every one of those arenas, every one of those areas. And so we see in Isaiah 53, we see that God is telling us ahead of time that you're worth it to receive healing. You are worth it. Because it was already prophesied that Jesus would take stripes for us. He would take stripes for us. And we know that as we are in this beginning part of Easter season, that when we get to Good Friday, there will be many people that will actually commemorate the fact that Jesus went to the cross, that he took stripes for us, and that it is by his stripes we are healed. You can read a little bit further in this passage where not only it says that we were healed, but in verse 6, we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before a shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. For he shall see the labor of his soul, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressions and transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgression. Sing, O barren, you have not borne. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud, you have not labored with child. See, Isaiah 54 flows right in to this, because there is a joy that comes from knowing that Jesus paid the price for us. Now, many scholars and many theologians over the years, they have argued whether or not Isaiah 53 and verse 5 is talking about spiritual healing, or is it talking about physical healing? Well, I'm wanting to be thorough when I present this to you. So I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 8. I want to show you that in the New Testament, we see a reference to that exact passage. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 through 17, this is speaking of Jesus' ministry. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew tells us that this was a direct reference. Jesus was physically bringing healing to the people, and this was a direct reference to Isaiah 53. Well, just so that we're not in the dark about this, God actually wants you well in every way, including your emotions. Including, now I know some people have gone off into kind of a ditch on one side of the road or the other when it comes to some of these things, but God wants you emotionally healed. There may be some things in your past, some things that have brought great pain to you. God wants you to overcome those. Jesus took stripes so that we would have peace. That is mental and soulish peace, as well as spiritual and physical peace. Turn with me, if you would, again to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Often we go to this particular passage when referring again to healing as part of what we as New Testament believers can ask God for. It's okay to receive personal and physical healing in your life because you're worth it. Turn to the person next to you or nearby you, socially distanced, say you're worth it.
You're worth it.
Say you're worth it to be well. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 24. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Hallelujah. Did I get that right? Yeah, there we go. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For we were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He is talking here that the healing and the stripes that Jesus took, the punishment, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took our punishment physically. They say that most men did not survive a scourging. In fact, that's the reason why many times they would only give them 39 lashes, because they said 40 would kill a man. Wow. Jesus took our punishment. He took our punishment so that we could have life and have healing, both spiritually and physically. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. I want to illustrate this in the ministry of Jesus this morning. We're just going to take a moment to look at a healing that took place when somebody got set free. We're going to look at a mother who's crying out to Jesus. She's crying out to Jesus for her daughter. And I want you to see how Jesus responds in this particular story, because I think it's going to help connect the dots for you that you're worth it. You're worth it to receive healing. You're worth it to actually receive from God. And this morning, if you're at home or you're here and you need to receive physical healing, I want you to prepare yourself to receive all that he has today. He's got strength for you. He's got help for you. He's got healing for you today. Notice what it says. It says here in verse 24, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house. This is speaking of Jesus. And he wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Jesus can't be hidden. Notice what happens. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Now this is a head scratcher of a story. Because sometimes we look at this and say, was Jesus being rude? Was he actually being rude? How many have ever thought that? Come on, be honest. Be honest, right? You know, that's where studying this out a little bit and understanding some things really helps. Digging in. And understanding the context. Why did they tell us that he went to Sidon? First of all, Sidon and Tyre is in southern Lebanon. It's in the right in the northern reaches of Israel. It's right on the border of, in that particular time frame, would have been Gentile land. They would have been Gentiles over there. It was a common thing for a Gentile to, in Jewish culture, to be referred to as a dog, as a worthless, unclean animal, and they would use a derogatory term. Jesus did not use that term. What he used was a term of the little puppy, the household pet, when he said the little dogs. He actually softened the term that was used in the culture and said, yeah, and he, what was he doing? He was wanting to see. He's locating this woman's faith. Because now I want you to picture Jesus is trying to stay kind of low key. You can't stay low key when you're Jesus, right? He's trying to stay low key. And he's there in that particular region. He's right on the edge. He's right on the edge, northern part of Israel, right near the region of Tyre. In fact, the original promised land would have included right up into Tyre and Sidon, what is currently modern-day Lebanon. And he's right there, and there were a lot of Gentiles there. It's no wonder that she was nearby. But she heard something. There's something that stirred. See, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. When you hear Jesus does really good things, what do? You want to know about it, right? Well, you want to know about it. You want to know about it. I heard Jesus. Remember we talked about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus heard Jesus was coming his way, and he's a short man, and he got up in a tree just to see Jesus. Look at what happens. This woman has an urgent need. She has an urgent need. She usually is not going to have anything to do with Jewish people. See, it goes both ways. Culturally here, it's going to go both ways. And so she knows that he's Jewish. He's a Hebrew. What does she do? She calls on the mercy of God. Let's look over here in Matthew 15. We're going to see it in a different light. Matthew records it from a different perspective, gives us a little more detail in Matthew 15. So Matthew 15 and verse 21, we see a little more detail. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Listen, when you are desperate, the first thing that's going to go out the window is pride. And the first thing that will go out the window is cultural pride. When you need help, it doesn't matter. That's why it's so important for us to focus on the love of God. When you need help, what matters most is God. That's what matters most. And this woman needed help for her daughter. She knew that wherever Jesus went, there were miracles that happened. And so she cries out, and notice what she cries out for mercy. She cries out for mercy. First of all, I want you to see that that took a great deal of courage on her part, humility on her part, but there was faith that was bubbling up on the inside. There was a faith that was starting to bubble up on the inside. She knew that if she could get to Jesus, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she knew if she could get to Jesus, Jesus could make this right. First of all, she comes into a setting that she was not invited into. Culturally, she was not welcomed into. And watch what happened. You say, was Jesus being rude? No. No, at first, Jesus didn't, he acted like he didn't see her, right? And I think it's because, how many know? He's the Son of God. He knows all things, and he does all things well. Notice what happens. He just kind of waits for a second. Meanwhile, now his disciples notice. And his disciples, meaning well, go, "Master, do you want us to send her away?" Why? Because that would have been the common thing to do. Wouldn't it? Right? That would have been the common thing to do. Let's see what happens. "But he answered her not a word, and his disciples urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" Now he answers an answer, again, a head scratcher. "But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" He was trying to stay on focus that he was there first for the Jewish people. But again, this was a test. This was a test. Is the woman going to be persistent? Notice what happened. Then she came. Now she takes her humility to another level. It says she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." All sense of dignity, all sense of pride is now gone. And she has decided to humble herself. This is a powerful moment. But Jesus said, "Is it not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs?" He did not insult her. He talked about the little pet, the family puppy, if you will. should I give the children's bread to the family puppy? He softened the phrase that was used by everybody else. And he actually, the phrase there, the little puppy, is a term of endearment of the little household pet. Have you ever had a household dog? Ours is named Noah. And she's, you know, she's annoying, but she's ours. We love her. I mean, she's all of that. Well, notice what happens. Her faith is so, it's been strengthened because Jesus actually is talking to her. He's talking to her. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs, the puppies, they eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with me? Jesus isn't calling me a little puppy. But I want you to just kind of put yourself in that position. The woman in that society, in that culture, she could have had every reason in her mind to be prideful, to be angry, to be bitter, to be hopeless. She's got a daughter that's got a medical and demonic problem, right? But she wants help for her daughter. And so her entire self-worth, everything, she actually lays it all out. She lays it all out. You know, you might have felt at times that you are unworthy to receive healing. Maybe you feel like that there are moments where you were unworthy because of a mistake that you made. Maybe there were times that you had maybe a temptation to even be angry about things that have happened to you or bitter about things that have happened to you. One of the first things that I would suggest to anybody who is believing God for healing, get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the resentments. Get rid of the things that you hang on to. Because those are some of the most blocking things to receiving all that you need from God. This woman actually got rid of all of those and worshiped him. When we come into his presence, you know, they say that that if you're, you know, wanting recovery from an addiction, that you've got to come to a point that you just kind of come to the end of yourself. You know, that you can't be full of yourself anymore. When the prodigal son finally came home, it said he came to himself. There comes a point when I remember my good friend, Pastor Frank Morales, who used to run the Shepherd's Flock ministry down in Yonkers, New York. If a young man coming off the streets of Yonkers wanted to get free from drugs, he would pull him into the office. And how many remember Pastor Frank? He used to come and preach for us. He's in heaven now. He graduated early. And he jumped the line. But, you know, he used to say to the men, he'd bring him into his office, and he's a burly Puerto Rican fella, and he'd pull him into his office, and he'd look him square in the eye, and they'd say, oh, yeah, yeah, I want to come here. A lot of times they wanted to come there because they were cold. It was winter, and there was a warm bed, there was a clean bed, and there was food. And they were kind of looking for a way to get off the streets. And he would kind of sift them out because he himself was there one time. And he would say, I want to ask you, young man, are you done? And if that young man couldn't look Pastor Frank in the eye without flinching, he'd look at him and say, I don't think you're done yet. You can't come until you tell me that you are done. You know, at some point, when we need healing, all of the other stuff that we're relying on, all of the things we're hanging on to, the baggage that we hang on to, she, this woman, this Syrophoenician woman, she called out for mercy. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is not justice. Mercy is being treated better than you deserve. Mercy calls out and says, I need to be treated better than I deserve. I need God to help my daughter. She called out. Mercy. Mercy. That was the first thing. And then the second thing she did is she worshiped. You see, I began to think about this. This woman received a loaf of healing. How did she receive a loaf of healing? All she had was a crumb of faith to start with. She gave that crumb to Jesus. What did she do? She called out. She called out, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. She was persistent. She had not only the crumb of faith, but she had a crumb of humility. Because everything else she had trusted in, just like the woman with the issue of blood, had all failed her. She was at her last effort. She was done. And she wasn't an addict. She was there advocating for her child. But some of the principles are just the same. When we come to our place where, you know, yes, we believe in medical science. Thank God for medical science. Thank God for help, medically speaking. But there comes a point when our trust has to be in Him 100%. God can use the doctors. Thank God He does. He's done it with me. Thank God for this virus vaccine that's come out. Thank God lots of people are going to be helped by it. But here's the thing. Our reliance has to be on Him 100%. 100%. And so this woman had a crumb of faith. She had a crumb of humility. And she had a persistence about her. A crumb of persistence. I don't know if you've ever encountered an angry mother. Anybody in here? Have you ever been the angry mother? Don't answer that. The angry parents, right? Right? Don't mess with my kid, right? Am I right? Well, you know, this woman, she was at that point where she was all in for her child. She has so many amazing qualities that her story is recorded twice in the Gospels. And she was known and commended as a woman of great faith. What about us? What about us? Do you have that crumb of faith? Jesus said if you would just have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. We already read in Isaiah 53 that Jesus came so that you could have healing. We already read in 1 Peter 2:24 that by His stripes we are healed. We already read that Jesus healed the multitudes and set people free. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Do you know God wants to set you free in your emotions, in your body? He wants to bring healing and health to you. It is the enemy who comes and tries to steal health and healing from you. It is the enemy that comes and tries to put diseases upon you, to take you out. It is God who brings the answer. Jesus comes and epitomizes that answer. This woman had the crumb of faith. She had the crumb of humility that she humbled herself. She had that ability, that persistence. He said, I'm going to you again, God. I'm going to you again, God. I'm going to you again. Listen, she didn't take no for an answer. She didn't take no for an answer. There have been moments where I have watched my wife advocate for our children, and she won't take no for an answer. You know, that's a quality that all of us, if we'll have that same persistence, about our health and healing. I believe that every one of you can receive all that God has for you in your health. You can be free from those things that are bothering your health. You can be free. Even when those days don't seem like it's good, you have bad days. You know, even when the doctor's report is negative, you can still be persistent and say, yes, but my God, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. What about that emotional scar? Let it go. Let it go. Because what matters most is you being whole in every way. God wants you whole in every single way. He wants you well. He wants you well. That's his will for us. Why? Because I don't know about you, but sick days are not good days. Sick days are not good days. You understand what I'm saying? When you don't feel good, it's not a good day. And I believe that God has better for all of us. He wants you well. Physical healing, you know, physical healing is something that each one of us can, we can appropriate the promise of God. Just like if I pulled out some money out of my pocket, it's only a dollar, don't get too excited. Right? If I said, how are you going to get this? I'm going to give this. And I'm just going to illustrate this just really quickly. I'm going to give this dollar to, you know, I'm going to give this dollar to Brenda. Brenda, would you come on up here and would you, I'm telling you that I'm going to give this dollar to you. I'm giving this dollar to Brenda. This is what I'm declaring right now. So now how would you get this dollar, Brenda? You actually, that's your dollar. It's your dollar. Three more of those, or six more of those, you can buy a cup of coffee. So what did she have to do? She actually had to reach out and take it. What was that? That's the crumb of persistence. And not for nothing. Did you realize that it takes a little humility to come up and grab a dollar from the pastor? Now, I'm not asking her to worship me. Trust me. He's the only one who deserves that. But I'm illustrating the point. Anything that God has for you, anything, it's as simple as receiving it. How did you receive salvation? You believed and you received it. So this morning, if you need healing in your body, if you need healing in your body, I was praying and I said, God, you know, I don't want the social distancing thing, the mask thing, to get in the way of people receiving their healing. He said, it doesn't have to. I said, okay. This is in the wee hours of the morning because I was up and I was praying about this and the Lord said, no, just have them stand. If they need healing in their body, just stand right now, wherever you are. Stand. If you need healing in your body, I want you to stand. The act of standing in and of itself is a step in the right direction. Why? Because it takes humility. Why? Because it takes courage. Why? Because it takes persistence. Now, right where you are, I'm going to ask if we could have, do we have any music, Brother Colin? I'm going to ask right where you are. This is what I saw in my spirit. I was praying, and if you're at home, I want you to stand. You say, maybe it's painful to stand. Hang on to something. Hang on to something. Stand. Keep standing just for a moment. I'm not going to keep you long. But what I sensed the Lord say was, you know, just like I passed by in my presence when I walked on planet Earth, I'm going to pass by my people who need healing today. Hebrews tells us Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that walked by blind Bartimaeus, and blind Bartimaeus stood up yelling,
saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, bring them here. Bring him here. He's here right now. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Right now, the healing virtue of Jesus is going through this building. Whatever it is you need. I speak to arthritis. I speak to depression. I speak to anxiety. I speak to fear. I speak to pain in the back. I speak right now to high blood pressure. I speak to cancer. I speak to it and say it must bow its knee to Jesus right now. And Father, right now, your healing virtue flows in this place. Now begin to thank him right now. The Syrophoenician woman worshiped God. Worship Jesus. Just begin to worship him. Just begin to worship him. He's here. And he's manifesting his great grace of healing. Because by the stripes of Jesus, you are the healed of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you're at home right now, you're the healed of the Lord. You're the healed of the Lord. Now just thank him. Just thank him. Thank him. He's the healer. He's the healer. He's the healer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your healing virtue passing by right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I just want you to look at me just for a second. I believe with all my heart that what I saw in my spirit makes a difference. It lines up with the Word of God. It's God's will to heal. And as we stood here and I prayed that healing prayer for you, I know the healing virtue went into your body. Now it's up to you to keep that active. Because when you leave and that pain starts to come again, or that reminder starts to come again, I want you just to remember the Syrophoenician woman worshipped. She humbled. She was persistent. And just keep thanking him. Just keep thanking him. Every time the pain comes, I thank you, Father.
Yes.
I'm the healed of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm the healed of the Lord.
Thank you.
I'm the healed of the Lord. You may be seated. I want to encourage you that so often we don't teach people how to keep that activated in their life. Now, I didn't lay hands on you because I didn't feel like I was supposed to. I didn't do it not out of fear. I did it because I was inquiring of the Lord. Lord, I don't want anything to cause people to unhook or to be distracted when it came to the healing power of Jesus. So that's what he showed me to do. Now, I'm telling you this from a personal testimony. Many of you know when I had my brain bleed that I lost part of my vision. And they told me after several months, I went back for the checkup. They said, you know, you're never going to see any more than you see now. And I remember looking at the doctor and I said, no, no, no. I'm going to see.
Amen.
I'm going to see more.
Thank you, Lord. More.
That was keeping the switch of faith turned on. That was keeping the healing power of God active. That was being persistent. So I came back another 6 months later and they took another picture of my eyes and they said, oh, how about that? You got a little better. Well, now for sure, this is all you're going to get. And they took a map of my eyes. They said, this is it. And I said, it's still not it.
Amen.
And, you know, to this day, I still will remind myself, I can see. Why? Because the map doesn't say that I have 100% vision. But I'll tell you what,
Every doctor that has ever looked at those maps of my eyes say, you should not even have close to what you have now.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I can drive. I can see. And when somebody says, Pastor, can you see that? Or when my kids say, hey, that dropped on the floor, can you see that? Yes, I can. Why? I worship Jesus. He's my healer. I've humbled myself, and I'm persistent. So I want you to stay persistent. The Syrophoenician woman didn't allow bitterness to block her up. Now I'm going to speak real candid to you. If you've got bitterness in your life, get rid of it. If you have unforgiveness in your life, forgive. Let it go. Because the only one suffering is you. Nothing between you and the healing power of God. Let it go. Let it go. Nobody hurt you to that degree that you can punish them. You're the only one who's being punished. So let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. In fact, Hebrews tells us, do not let the root of bitterness grow up because it will defile many. Now I'm going to tell you one other thing as we get ready to close. How do you keep and guard this healing power that's working in your life? How do you guard it? Don't be easily offended. Offense will build offense. You know that. Offense will build offense between you and other people, and it will block up the blessing of God in your life. Be a Christian who says, you know what? I am going to be really hard to offend. I'm not going to be easy to offend. And I'm going to tell you something. In today's culture, that's a rarity. That's a rarity because everybody's outraged about everything. Social media divides us. Everybody's outraged about everything. Let's not be outraged about everything. Let's be people of love. Let's be people of the healing power of God. Let's be people that say, you know what? It's all about Him. It's not about me. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for those that may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity, whether you're watching online or whether you're watching, here and now. I'm remiss. Last week, I actually didn't do that. And I don't know what happened. I kind of fritzed up here. Pray for me. But I told people how to get born again, but I didn't lead you how to do it. I always like to do that. So in case you do, invite a friend or invite a friend to watch online if they have an opportunity to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so, it's real simple. You need to be a Christian. Just believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised Him from the dead, and accept His forgiveness. Accept that free gift of God, eternal life. And the way we do it is this. We just pray a simple prayer, and I'm going to pray that prayer. You're welcome to repeat it to make those around you feel more comfortable, if that is the case. But I'm just going to pray a simple prayer on how you get born again. You say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead for me. I receive His forgiveness. I receive His life into my life that I would walk with Him. I call Him my Lord and my Savior from this day forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to know about it. We want to be able to give you something, send you something, and help you in your walk with God. Let's have our sending out verse at this time.
And let's pray this over ourselves as we go. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Last thing, if you received physically in your body a difference as we prayed for healing for you, we want to know about it. Whether it was at home or here, let's give God glory and tell others. God bless you.